We're getting closer and closer to the 2021 NFL Draft. Cardinals sitting in the first round right now at number 16. Here to talk draft with us, a longtime NFL Draft scout and analyst from DraftWire, part of USA Today Sports. Luke Easterling, our guest here on the Coulter Automotive Group Sports Line. Luke, thanks for the time. Appreciate it.
Hey, my pleasure, guys. How are you?
Good. I think when we talked to you last year, you dropped the bomb about your experience with the Tiger King. Am I remembering this correctly, Luke?
Is this where I did that? I remember.
Yes.
a couple of times I got to tell that fun story. But
Your fame precedes you.
Yeah, there you go.
I have no connection to the Tiger King.
Of all the things I've accomplished, that's what goes goes before me. Good.
Right, isn't that? It's ridiculous.
We don't get to pick. Yeah. We don't get to pick.
Nope.
Right now, with the Cardinals at 16, when you consider their needs, how they've attacked the offseason, and the gaps that they still have with the way the board could shake out, how possible do you think it is, Luke, right now for the Cardinals to trade down?
I think it could happen. Obviously, you know, when you're in the middle, it's kind of tough to peg one way or the other. I don't know if there's anybody at the positions they need that they could fall in love with enough to move up. So obviously, if you're looking to move down, you're looking to add picks, and you're comfortable with what you could get at corner, you're comfortable with what you could get on the offensive line, maybe another a young pass rusher on the edge there to kind of rotate in and eventually take over because you got some veteran guys there. Definitely a lot of different ways you could go there. If they're comfortable with what's on the board at all of those positions or maybe a few and they think, hey, we've got a deal we like on the table, we can move back, get some additional picks, get better value, save a little money, and still get an impact player at any of those positions down a little further, I definitely think it could happen. But I think they're in a great spot there at 16 to be able to pick between some quality prospects at those positions or if they do have that kind of deal on the table to feel comfortable moving back. They'll have a lot of options.
Now, for those who don't know, and I didn't know this, but Luke, you once a few years ago tweeted out that you advised teams to take Lamar Jackson at number one overall. Now, at that time, I'm sure you had a lot of people rolling their eyes, but in retrospect, you certainly weren't far from the truth. So that in mind, how do you handicap this year's quarterback class?
It's a fun one. And again, when you look at the fact that we're fully expecting three quarterbacks to come off the board in the first three picks, and it's not preposterous that four could come off the board in the first four picks, which is something we've never had happen in draft history. But the interesting part to me is that you really have four quarterback prospects that honestly are worth it in terms of their projections, in terms of their ability. Obviously, you never know how those guys are going to turn out. It has a lot to do with where they go and what the rest of the team looks like from there on. But in terms of their individual talent in a vacuum, I think that any combination of obviously Trevor Lawrence at number one, and then once you get into Justin Fields, Trey Lance, and Zach Wilson after that, and I think Mac Jones is in the next tier beyond those four guys. I don't put him in that conversation personally. But all three of the rest of those guys, slot them any order you want in the top four, and I think they could easily end up being worth it. So it really comes down to what you prefer for your scheme. Once you sit down with these guys and each team kind of gets to know them and gets to pick their brain and see how they would fit. Obviously, right now, it definitely feels like Zach Wilson to the Jets at number two. Personally, I think Justin Fields is the second best quarterback in this draft and would be the easy number one pick in just about any other draft class that doesn't have a guy like Trevor Lawrence in it. But when you look at Zach Wilson and kind of the flashy plays he makes at certain times, I don't see the same consistency that I see from Justin Fields, but I understand the flashes and how that could kind of make you bank on the upside with a guy like that, because that reminds us of what happened with Patrick Mahomes, honestly. You know, he wasn't the most mechanically sound passer. He wasn't necessarily the most consistent with his accuracy, but he was a really smart guy who made magic happen when the play breaks down. And when you see what he's been able to do, I understand why teams could fall in love with a guy like Zach Wilson. Trey Lance is the ultimate wild card, I think, because you have a guy that only really started one season, and he started it at the FCS level, you know, really wanted to see him go up against teams like Oregon on the road, which, you know, was going to happen. And obviously COVID-19 took that game off the schedule. He only played one game this past year against Central Arkansas. Didn't really play great for three quarters, brought him back for the win in the fourth quarter, which you obviously like to see. But he's obviously more of a long-term projection. He's got great arm talent, great athlete, can obviously run the ball really well. But he's kind of the wild card in terms of projection. That's why I think he makes sense for a team like Atlanta at four, right? You got to be paying for Matt Ryan for a while. He could make sense there. But I really like those four guys. I think Mac Jones, like I said, is in a different tier below that. But, man, it's a fun quarterback class because you got a lot of different skill sets. It's going to be fun to watch.
Luke Easterling from USA Today's Draft Wire, our guest here on Bickley and Murata. Going back to your mock that you published last week, you had Lance going number 3 to San Francisco. Kind of the same thinking, maybe not as tied in as the Falcons are with Matt Ryan, but Lance could make sense for the 49ers at 3, but with that security blanket in Jimmy Garoppolo, right?
Absolutely. I think it's a very similar situation, and I would put maybe Detroit at 7 in a similar situation, right? You like, mm-hmm. You want to see what you have in Jared Goff, but you'd like to have a long-term plan after that if you have the ability to land a guy like that if he's still on the board. So I think with what we heard today, I heard Tom Pelissero on NFL Network talking about the fact that Justin Fields and Trey Lance are both having those second pro days, yeah. And that they're actually going to have Kyle Shanahan and the 49ers involved in the planning of that, basically. They're going to have some schemes and some drills and some throws set up that basically are tailored to that offense and to what Kyle Shanahan likes. So they're obviously, they're trying to make their own strong case here to be that number 3 pick, and I think that's why it feels like Zach Wilson to the Jets pretty much is a sure thing at this point, because I think those guys are really jockeying to kind of push back on the narrative that Mac Jones was their target when they traded up to number 3. I think either of those guys would be a better pick, and it's interesting to see them kind of making it clear that they're auditioning for that team.
Yeah, really interesting stuff, because I wasn't quite certain why I kept reading reports about Justin Fields slipping. And granted, the consistency wasn't always there, but on the contrary, that's giving Zach Wilson a hall pass for playing lesser competition. What do you think, what forces are at work here?
I mean, I've said it before, and I feel like this isn't news, but I've been doing this a long, long time, and the fact of the matter is that this seems to only happen when you have a black quarterback. And I feel like, again, this should be obvious to anyone who's paying attention, that when you have teams trading up for a guy like Mitch Trubisky at number 2 and a guy like Deshaun Watson drops to number 12 after the career he had at Clemson, and you look at what's happening now with a guy like Mac Jones being talked about at number 3, and then you talk about Justin Fields maybe being the 5th quarterback off the board after the career he just had at Ohio State, it feels like there's no other explanation for me than the fact that there must be some sort of, whether it's unconscious or not, some sort of bias in the way these quarterbacks are evaluated, whether it's in the league or the media, which again are two very different things in the way that those two entities evaluate things, right? So
yeah.
I don't know that it's something that people would be able to put a finger on and say, I'm purposefully doing that. But what you can't argue with is the results. And you go back to what you said earlier about my thoughts on Lamar Jackson, a very similar situation. That guy couldn't get a bite in the first round until somebody traded up to the very last pick. And he's finally, we've seen athletes and players like that forced to other positions, and the narratives leading up to that draft were doing the same thing. We heard people talking about Lamar Jackson having to switch positions. Why weren't we talking about Josh Allen switching to tight end?
Yeah.
He was a big athletic quarterback who had accuracy issues and had trouble with consistency and statistics, but we never heard that conversation. So,
sure.
You start to put two and two together. It becomes obvious to me. I think it's obvious to a lot of people. It just seems to be a conversation that people don't really want to have.
Luke Easterling from DraftWire, our guest here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Corner is an area of need still for the Cardinals. Obviously a very possible pick of a corner at number 16. Let me address it this way. If Surtain, Horn, and Farley are all still there at 16 for the Cardinals and they want to go corner, where should they go?
I mean, it's Surtain for me, but those guys are pretty tightly graded to me. I think the big question obviously would be Caleb Farley's back injury. He's had surgery on that in the offseason. Sounds like things went really well earlier this week in Indianapolis when all those guys went to get their medical checks. So hopefully that's the case, because I think he's a top 10, top 15 player easily at full strength. You just want to make sure that he's going to be able to live up to that and to stay healthy with that back injury. Back injuries are weird like that. You never kind of know how they're going to go, and they impact everything. So all three of those guys have everything you look for in today's starting corner, right? They got the height, they got the length, the athleticism, the ball skills. They're smart guys, great instincts. So you really can't go wrong. I do not expect all three of them to be on the board. And honestly,
yeah,
Farley feels like the most likely to be there because of the injury and because of the question marks there. But it wouldn't surprise me to see him be the only one there and that be the only reason.
One last one for you, Luke, and we appreciate your time. I'm fascinated, too. There's a number of positions where there's not really any consensus in the pecking order of the quality of the prospects, and I think wide receiver is one of those. And a lot of people are saying Ja'Marr Chase is easily the best guy, but when you have a Heisman Trophy winner like Devontae Smith and then Jaylen Waddle, where's your preference there? How would you rank those three prospects going into this?
I do think Ja'Marr Chase is head and shoulders above that group. I think he's the clear-cut number one, even after opting out. I think he proved at his pro day what kind of athlete we knew he was already. And again, you see what he was able to do with Joe Burrow. I'd love to see a reuniting there in Cincinnati at number five, I think would make a lot of sense. But he's just a more complete player. He's a big, thick receiver with great athleticism, great hands. He's really got the total package. And I think when you look at those other two guys, Devontae Smith has a couple of things that he does extremely well. He's a very smooth route runner. He's got a lot of the same things that I think made Justin Jefferson so successful in Minnesota this year. And I think teams will really be excited about that. You just wonder at 170-ish pounds, you know, is he going to be able to hold up at that level if he's going to get knocked around a little bit? And Jaylen Waddle, he missed probably half the season with that ankle injury. But, man, when he's got the ball in his hands, if you're looking for – I don't like to compare prospects every year to the best players in the league. But when you look at what Tyreek Hill has been able to do, regardless of his size, I mean, we talk about number one wide receivers, and we think they all have to be big. He's a number one wide receiver, and you don't have to have that. I think Jaylen Waddle's got that kind of explosiveness. Just go watch his highlights and see how quickly he eliminates angles. He's just so explosive. I think those two guys, it just depends on what you need for your offense in terms of Smith and Waddle, which one you would have ranked ahead of the other.
Luke, great stuff as always, man. We appreciate the time and the insight today.